Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat. I'm Lisa, and our Mouse Chatters today are Chris, Bob, and Steve. Welcome, gang.
Hey.
Hello, Lisa.
Hello, Steve.
How are you?
I'm good.
I'm doing good.
My eyes are tired.
Lawrence out gallivanting. And
she's at Disneyland.
Yeah.
I know. Nice.
It's her family's first time out there, and her second time, because she went out there for training.
That's how it always happens. You go for your first time, and you're like, oh, I got to bring everybody out here.
Yeah, I got to show them everything.
And then you're back.
Go on this.
I thought it was funny today. She posted a picture of the Matterhorn on her page and on Facebook and said, is it me or is this like the bumpiest, you know, ride on your back?
No.
It's like, yeah, that's
pretty bumpy.
Right.
Yeah. And you used to be able to wedge yourself in those old cars pretty good. You would like wedge your legs in there and hold yourself in really good. And the new ones are a little harder to get wedged in.
It's fun, but man, it is rough on your
it's
back.
It's fun, but you know, Lauren and I did the single rider line thinking we'd get on really fast, and we ended up probably waiting longer than we would have in the normal line because they're so good about filling up the cars. If you're a party of 2, 3, 4, or 6, you get on no problem. It's just those parties of 5 that you had to worry about. And that's where we would come in because they have a car for 6. And so we stood forever for those stinking parties of 5. That was not fun.
But was it worth it? Did you like it?
No, it was so bumpy.
It's kind of like Primeval Whirl, right? I mean, the way it makes your back feel.
See, I still haven't done that. That's the only ride. That's one of the few rides I haven't done.
Oh, but you're not missing much. You can skip that one.
Well, I'll start out with our Mouse Chat event because we haven't talked about it in a while. So I'll remind everybody about that and then we'll get into our show. But if you haven't heard, we have our first Mouse Chat. It's our third year anniversary over at Disney Hollywood Studios. It's going to be September 13th, which is Friday the 13th.
Dun, dun, dun.
There you go. I had to wait for that.
It's so spooky.
It is pretty spooky. And then, it's Friday the 13th.
Ooh.
Wow. And it's Villains Weekend. So the Extra Magic, is that what it's called? I can't remember. I want to say Extra Magic.
Limited Time Magic.
So the Limited Time Magic is the Villains Weekend. And we have a dessert party, a VIP dessert party over at Fantasmic. And we have tickets for sale for that. They're $40 over at mousechat.net. If you go to the website, we only have a few left, and then we'll be sold out. So if you want to do that, you can reserve them at mousechat.net.
How many left? There's not that many.
I don't even know. We don't have very many left.
There's fewer than 10.
Yeah. So we have a handful of those left. And then we have also, we announced a couple days ago, the Saturday, which is the 14th of September, we'll be at the Magic Kingdom, and we're meeting right in front of the castle at the Hub. I believe it's 11.
10?
I believe it's 11 a.m. But look at the Mouse Chat site, and we're gonna do a scavenger hunt, and
in the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, in the Magic Kingdom, and that might be sold out by the time you hear this podcast. So go over to mousechat.net real quick, see if we have tickets still available for that. That's free, and within 24 hours we were almost out of tickets, but we might still have a few. And then
there are 50 tickets available, and within 24 hours, we sold, 39?
Yeah.
Park admission is not included.
Yeah.
We're not paying for you to all get in, even though we think you're lovely people.
Yeah, you do need to get your park ticket. You do not require a hopper, as the scavenger hunt will be contained to the Magic Kingdom.
Right.
Yeah.
But the scavenger hunt itself is free, so to participate.
Yep. And oodles of fun.
Yeah. And then we have rooms at the Beach Club through Pixie Vacations. So you can contact Bob, Chris, or Lauren if you want to book a room at the Beach Club.
The rates just went down.
Yeah, and we have the rates for our group at $226.17, so $226.
Beach Club.
And 17 cents for the Beach Club.
Plus tax.
Yes.
It's an awesome rate. That's like moderate pricing.
Yeah.
And it's the Beach Club.
Yeah, that's my favorite resort.
Best pool on property.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's...
Well, and it's right... It's a walk... Well, you wouldn't walk, really, but it's a boat ride over to Studios.
Studios, yeah, and Epcot.
So we tried to get something close to Studios, so if you're doing the dessert party, you can be pretty close.
Yeah, because of the dessert party on that night, the park that night is open until the 13th hour, so it's open till 1 a.m. on Friday the 13th. So after the dessert party, we'll probably all hang out at Disney Hollywood Studios, I'm sure, till 1 a.m. And then we're going to come up with some other things. We're all talking about some other ideas, you know, where we're going to eat lunch and what rides we're going to ride. So we'll put together kind of a where we're going to be at.
We'll do Carousel of Progress together.
Oh, yeah, we'll do Carousel of Progress together. That'll be great. So
we'll have one big long line to do the Tomorrowland Transit Authority.
There you go.
Carousel of Progress is like the best ride in the park. We should do it.
Well, we can all sing together. Chris, we may need to have
And we
can
talk about
function.
How they used to have real chicken nuggets.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, there we
what?
Go.
Seriously, if you don't like the Carousel of Progress, just leave now.
So Chris will be heading up a Carousel of Progress event. If anyone shows up for that. And then
I'll be there.
The rest of us will go on some fun rides.
Right. That's a ride.
We're gonna try to convince Chris to go back on Space
word.
Mountain. But we're gonna have to restrict it to 18 and over due to the possible use of foul language.
I can curse for you right in Carousel of Progress if it's that important.
Oh well, there you go. That's priceless. You can't, that makes attending the weekend, I don't know. I don't know. I could hold a seminar on everything I don't like in the parks currently.
Yeah, Bob's going to have a tour where we walk
down
Main Street.
Are you going to have your soapbox?
He just points out things that are bad show.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Declining by Degrees tour. guest Kevin Yee from Mice Chat. There you go. He coined that phrase, declining by degrees. Yes, I'm going to bring my soapbox with me, Lisa.
Yes, you can stand on that. You know, it's funny, though, because hearing all the things that Bob points out, you start to see them and it ruins it.
You know,
do you know what?
I didn't see anything.
That isn't actually
time,
the case for me. I just, it doesn't happen that way for me.
There's only so much you can do.
You know, I did see Bob when I was in the brand new Starbucks. That was within the first hour it opened, there was a light bulb that was out. And I was like, oh my God.
That.
I was like,
jeez.
Look at that. Bob. There, if Bob was here, he would be like, look at that.
I remember you said it. I remember thinking, eh.
No, but I didn't notice that much because we were in the parks and running around and at the resorts. And it looked like everything was, the upkeep was pretty good.
I just, you know, I actually get really tired of people whining. I really do. And there's like there's a segment of the Disney nerd community. All they do is whine. They act like Disney is there to soothe all the aches and pains from their childhood and make them feel better. Disney's there to make money. And, you know, if it's not perfect, I'm sorry. I have bad news. Mommy and Daddy aren't getting back together either. So, I mean, it's just like this constant whining.
Ouch.
I would respond, but I don't think that that's the topic for tonight. So
sorry. I'm tired of it. I'm just so tired of the whining. Really, get over it.
All right, so we have a listener question.
Yay.
Yeah. This is, come on. It's actually a good, you said yourself.
No,
it is
a good one. I believe I was the one who said, let's make this a show topic.
Yes, I you were, Chris. So, so as Steve said, we got a great couple of questions from a listener named Kyle. So why don't I just get into it? I'll read them off and we can discuss.
Perfect.
Amongst ourselves.
Please do.
So he writes, hey guys, I'm a huge Disney fan and love your podcast. Well, thank you. I thought you may be able to answer a few questions I have about Disney World. So first, are there any other ways to meet Imagineers besides the Brown Derby lunch? And for people that don't know, you can actually book a lunch with an Imagineer and they have it at the Brown Derby over at Hollywood Studios. But it's not like one-on-one. I think they do it like a full table of people.
They do. It's like a table. I just had a client book it. So they have a dinner as well at Flying Fish, but I don't think that's offered as frequently. So the lunchtime, you know, you go in and it's a couple of hours and you sit there with about 10 other people.
Yeah.
And usually it's funny because some of the ones to be Imagineers, I mean, you'll meet some established people who've worked for Disney for a long time. So
right, but of course, with that many people there, how much conversation you're really going to have with one of them, is questionable.
Yeah.
You
know,
well, and I have to say something. I think because it isn't an official function, you're not going to get a lot of inside dirt. I mean, we've all dealt with Disney sort of people enough at this point that, you know, they're extremely poised and well-spoken, and they don't mess up. They don't tell you things they're not supposed to tell you. They don't let their guard down. So,
right. And Kyle Rhodes, he said, what I'm looking for is some sort of Imagineer's Eye tour, something that takes you through the park. And he said that would, he's like, if something like that doesn't exist, that would be a good addition for the tour options. Well,
it would.
It would, but I think, like you said, Chris, I think they're so busy working on
right.
projects and developing the next big thing for the parks that they likely don't have the time to do that. And Disney's, even if they were willing to do that, I don't think Disney would probably be willing to give up an Imagineer once a day.
Equivalent you get through a regular tour, like we just took the Keys of the Kingdom tour. I think, you know, she knew as much as any Imagineer would know.
Yeah, that was a really good tour. And that was like 4.5 hours, and it's behind the scenes. You go in the tunnels. It's kind of,
right.
You know,
it sounds like what he's looking for is the technical side of things. And,
yeah.
And
call Lou Mangiello.
you really don't get anything like that. But I imagine for legal reasons and other reasons, they keep a lot of that stuff close to the chest.
One kind of interesting guide are those Imagineering guides. You know, there's one, I think, for each park now.
Yeah.
And they are written by a guy named Alex Wright, who's an Imagineer. He's really, really well established. So you could get those, and they do talk a lot about the technical things, and you could walk through the park and kind of check things out as you go. I love those guides. Even my husband, who's not a huge Disney fan, has read those.
And there are books that other Imagineers have written. Bob Gurr, former Imagineer, has written a book. Raleigh Crump has written a book. About their experiences and things. So, you know, certainly worth a look.
Because we met with Bob Gurr over at Disneyland, and Bob Gurr goes to some kind of fan events. But I think he's always there.
Yeah,
so he's always around, but he's usually over on the East Coast. And so you can meet up with him and talk with him one on one pretty easily.
East Coast or West Coast?
I'm sorry,
West Coast.
Yeah, the other one.
Yeah, that coast. You know, where
California hasn't moved, Steve. It's still west.
If you're in Australia, it's kind of the East Coast.
Yeah,
Steve.
Yeah.
It's true.
But yeah, I mean, other than that, I agree that would make for a cool tour, but you're not going to see anything like that. He continues, he said, he hopes to one day be part of the Disney College program. He said, and I listened to one of your more recent podcasts about the DCP, but still had a question. Is it possible to spend your time in the program at Imagineering? He said, I would love to have one foot in the door, on his plans of one day being an Imagineer for Disney, which is a very admirable goal.
Well, if busing tables is Imagineering, then yes, absolutely.
Well, if custodial or busing tables or working at the front desk.
Yeah, I mean, it's really not. There are really no plum, like, unless you get in as, like, somebody who's doing, you know, like we had the girl on who had been Minnie or whatever. Unless you can do something like that, you're going to do a lot of kind of blue-collar work.
Right.
So.
Yeah. But I was saying, the cool thing is...
And, you know, frankly, some of those Imagineers, I mean, a lot of those, Alex Wright, the guy I just mentioned, actually scooped ice cream with a MFA from, I think, Savannah Arts, whatever that big school is.
So he had a four-year-plus degree.
Right, he did. He had a bachelor's and a master's from a top school, and he was scooping ice cream in the Magic Kingdom. So...
You pay your dues. And
yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. So you don't, there is no way to get in through the Disney College program as an Imagineer.
Yeah. But you can also meet people. I mean, you use that experience to when you're off hours to kind of meet people in other departments. And, you know, and if I remember we did like some radio commercials because they were looking for people for some Disney radio ads. So a bunch of cast members, we all heard about that and we did that. So you get, and then you start meeting people down there in the tunnels, and then you meet people in attractions, and you slowly can, work your way into different things and learn about different activities or different jobs that you might want to do later.
It right. seems like a company where you have to have a lot of contacts.
Yeah, you have to network your way. And,
but it also is a company that I think hard work is recognized and rewarded. And I mean, if you think about George Kalogridis, used to bus tables at the Contemporary at what is now the California Grill, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, I think he started as a bus boy at one point. And John Lasseter, of course, drove he was a skipper at the Jungle Cruise.
Yeah.
Among other jobs. So you definitely can work your way up through that company. But everybody, it seems, pays their dues first.
Yep.
That's hard to believe, though, that a guy with a master's degree had to scoop ice cream in the park. Can you imagine?
Yeah. That's what he said.
Yeah. No, I don't doubt it. I mean, I how badly do you want it, right?
Yeah.
You know, if you want to work here, fine. We'll give you the chance.
Well, shoot, Bob. But, yeah. You and I both have law degrees, and we're doing both.
right, exactly. Yeah. Well, good point. Touche.
You know, if you like your job, it really doesn't matter what your background is. And you know, he's obviously, you know, he's kind of the face of younger Imagineers now, but he certainly paid his dues. So
right. He said, staying on the topic of the Disney College program, and I think Steve and Lisa, you could probably answer this. If I get a job that is somewhat demanding, and I think you've already stated that most of them are on the college program, how much park time would I get? I think he means like free time in the parks. He said, and if you're in the college program, do you get free park tickets or at least discounted tickets?
Well, you're going to get free park tickets. Well, you don't need tickets. You just show your ID to get in.
Okay.
And this may have changed. It has been quite a while since I've been a cast member, but we just showed our ID and that got you in for yourself. If you wanted to get friends or someone else in, then I do believe they have a system where you get so many tickets per quarter and, you know, you can do it that route. But it sounds like he wants it just for himself and he can get in anytime he wants.
Okay. And how much free time did you really have? Because I know from what you guys have talked about and even when we had that recent guest on, it sounded like you worked pretty hard.
Well, it depends on the season that you're there. There's definitely slow times. And again, this could all be different now. But when I was there, we did get 40 hours a week. You could easily do 48. But some people did have 32. So it's a normal job. You do work hard when you're doing your normal job. But the hours, it's normal because, you know, they've got labor laws that they have to go with, and if you're doing the program, there are usually school requirements that make you work at least 32 hours a week. Sometimes the college kids have to take coursework in addition to doing the college program. And what school do they go to, most of them?
I'd imagine UCF.
No, there's a community college.
Where?
It's over on Kirkman.
You mean Valencia?
Yeah,
Valencia. Okay.
Yeah. So a lot of kids will take coursework there as well. I say kids, but you know what I mean. And so there's plenty of time to do what you want to do. Okay. You just have a normal job. And a lot of people choose to spend their spare time in the parks, like I did.
Right. Well, it's free for yourself to get in. Why not? And I'm sure, obviously, you make connections with people you work with and stuff and roommates. So
yeah.
Do you know what? I would maybe advise him, if you haven't already, go to disboards.com, and they have a whole section for kids who are on the college program or are applying. So it's like a sub-forum that they have there. So everything is pretty up to date.
That's a good idea. Yeah, to kind of – at least even if it's a little ways down the road for you, you can kind of read up on things.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it seems like it's pretty active. I mean, I really haven't looked there, but it seems, you know, like that whole board is really active. So
yeah. And I've got to point out, if you haven't figured it out already, I absolutely loved my experience there. It's a semester. So you either have fall, spring, or summer. And a lot of people extend because they just don't want to leave. And that's what I did. And I was there for about 3.5 years.
Huh. Wow. So no, and I don't think we've ever spoken to anybody that either on the show or people we've met in the parks or whatnot that have done the program and said that they had a bad experience. So everybody seems to walk away from it with raving about, you know, how good a time they had. So. Yeah.
It seems there are two groups of people, and Steve, you can confirm or shoot this in the toilet here. You either really get into the whole Disney scene and you spend a lot of time there, or you get into the social scene at the student housing and get immersed in that. So I think there were two groups that we really had, where you had the socialites that really hung out at the pool and had parties and such, and then you had the other group that would just spend all their time in the parks.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
What was it, the parks?
Well, and then he said, last question, and he's kind of thrown us from a loop here because he's going in a different direction. He said, after the Polynesian resort, what resort do you think will get a new DVC update? He said, I know this will spark a major debate, so this is a good place to stop. Mm-hmm. Thanks a bunch and keep making some great podcasts. Well, we should probably back up because the whole Polynesian DVC goes into the longstanding rumors category. But that's probably a rumor that is going to eventually come true, I think, at least. I think, given the success of the Bay Lake Tower over at the Contemporary and what is going to be a huge success of the DVC at Grand Floridian.
Does anyone know how that's selling yet? Has anyone heard anything about how it's selling? Okay.
I don't know. I mean, do we have any doubt that it's going to be a huge success? Anything less than a success?
I think it's going to be a huge success, and I think you're going to see the Poly next.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know. I mean, at this point, every deluxe resort will have had a DVC, right? So where would you put another DVC? If you get once you finish a Grand Floridian, you get the Poly, there's no more deluxe resorts to add. So maybe they'll go back and add that second tower at the Contemporary. I think that would make perfect sense.
I think it would too, because it would sell. I think there were people that wanted Bay Lake Tower and didn't get in.
Well, you can still buy it.
You can, okay. Well,
yeah,
but available. Beyond that, you still have that one garden wing, and it's kind of hanging out there. It looks all lonely, and it just doesn't fit
in. It's not a great use of the land. It's like, what, two floors?
Yeah.
So it's not a really good use of the space. But I think I saw somebody had taken, like, you know, aerial photos, or they had taken off the internet. They had taken aerial photos and pointed out why it wouldn't work. But I don't know if that's true. You know, that's just like people speculating.
Yeah.
I think it would be great if they went back over there and finished that job.
Well, that's a good point, too, that you brought up is, pretty soon they're going to run out of places to put DVCs.
Right. Then you would have to move over to that rumored one over at Fort Wilderness.
And then
you're doing a standalone because it's not going to be, you know, and Disney doesn't seem to like standalone. They like DVC connected to deluxe resorts.
Yeah, because you get all the amenities of the deluxe resort, all the restaurants, everything.
Yeah. Otherwise, you have to do a whole new resort like you would you know, Old Key West or Saratoga.
Well, and if we see the Poly, you know, it's years down the road before we
see. Do you know what, though? It's not a long ways, because the way it works is that Grand Floridian, by the time Grand Floridian sells out or is close to selling out, which, you know, maybe that's 18 months or 2.5 years or whatever, you have to have another DVC being built, because the new property is what generates sales and interest. I guess that's like the whole business, the model behind it. You have to have something in the works all the time. So,
So you think they're going to continue to keep building? It would be nice to see them take a break maybe after the Polynesian DVC.
Yeah.
If that is to become a reality and reinvest in the parks.
And you know, the problem is you can only fill so many rooms, and,
right,
you know, then you have to start adding more and more discounts to take people from offsite to onsite. And, you know, although DVC is small, I mean, I think there's like 200 units in Grand Floridian, maybe a little bit more, 225. It's the smallest one. And the Poly will be just as small, I bet.
Yeah, but that makes it elite.
But that is a good point. Oh, sorry. What'd you say, Chris?
Lisa said something I didn't hear.
I said, but that's what makes it elite. You know, having the exclusive feel to it, having it feel like, you know, you're someone special if you get in.
Well, I have to say, they did such an amazing job. Like the models, the pictures that I've seen of Grand Floridian, those rooms are gorgeous. And they did a beautiful job with the new Polynesian rooms. So I can imagine that, you know.
Well, that's another reason I think they're going to do Polynesian next, because they're rehabbing the rooms right now. Yeah. And they seem to really clean up
their
resorts.
But see, where would they put it? Where would they put a DVC at the Poly? The only place that makes sense is that cast member to do a high rise in that cast member parking lot.
Which is where?
It's right out. You know, it's the Plum. It's better than guest parking. It's right across from where you enter, you know, across from the monorail.
Well, that's enough. I don't know that it's going to happen, but I feel pretty confident that Polynesian DVC is going to happen because the Poly is one of the most popular locations.
Yeah.
Monorail DVCs sell really well. And I know they could make money off of it, but you do raise a good point, Chris, with what you said earlier, that as you continue to build these hotel rooms, not only do you then have to fill them, but the other thing is, as you bring more and more people onto your property, you have to have attractions for them and things for them to do and experience and places for them to eat and so.
Well, and the big and you know the issue though, Bob, is that, and somebody said this to us from inside sales. It was Gregory, our sales guy, said, you know, there's only a certain amount of people who are coming to Disney every year. So what you're trying to get is you're trying to get those offsite people on site. So I don't know that the parks would be taxed, but you know what would be taxed? The monorail. Because and this was a concern when Bay Lake Towers was built. Towers. See, Lisa, I said I added the S too. When that was built, there was a concern that it was going to overtax the monorail because you were going to have, you know, 1,000 or 3,000, I don't know, however many it sleeps every night, more people getting on the monorail.
That's
so
true.
When you add the Grand Floridian people and then you add a Poly, so then you've overtaxed that resort monorail.
Well, that's a good reason to maybe build new monorails. It doesn't help that they are running two cars short too.
Yeah.
Two monorails short. And they have been for the last couple of years. But the ones they have are older too. I mean, I think they haven't been updated since the late 80s. So
yeah.
But I know that's
they still have that
investment.
Delicious monorail smell.
They look good. When I was in the monorails, I mean, they look like they're good. But the problem is, they, you know, it's like Epcot closed at 11 and the monorail stopped at 11. So
yeah,
everybody,
because then we had to take a did we take a bus that night back from Epcot?
Yeah, it was awful.
I don't
so everybody leaving Epcot is waiting for buses, and it was crazy because I guess they have to shut them down so they can get them in for maintenance or whatever.
And the night that we were at the Top of the World Lounge recently, what happened is lightning hit the tracks or something, and one way or the other, it messed with their systems and their ability to safely regulate the monorail. So obviously they took it out of commission until they could get that fixed, which didn't happen until the next morning. Well, you had all these people at the Magic Kingdom who were ready to leave because the park was closing for regular guests, or it was only staying open for extra magic hours. You had people wanting to get, like myself, wanting to get from, you know, the Contemporary back to other resorts or like Grand Floridian and stuff, and couldn't take the monorail, and it became a huge ordeal,
like a huge bottleneck
to you know, try to regulate that or work that all out. And I think we waited like an hour for a bus. I mean, it was a mess.
Yeah.
So that also is a big concern. So what effect is the Grand Floridian DVC going to have on that? And
it's obviously going to have, I mean, if you figure if there's 225 units and just put, you know, five people in each one of them, you've got a lot of people staying there every night. So that's a lot more people on the monorails. I don't know. I mean, that was just something that I had read online. Somebody said, how is this going to affect, you know, traffic on the monorail?
Yeah, but not everyone's going to the Magic Kingdom.
That's true.
And not everyone's going at the same time. So it will be dispersed.
They should, yes. Listen to what Chris says. Go ride Carousel of Progress now. Why aren't you on Carousel of Progress?
I don't even understand why you people don't love it. We're going to have to work on this.
Because I've seen it once before and it hasn't changed since.
Yeah, I saw it in like 1971.
Have you not been on it in a while? We're so going on it next time we're all there.
So yeah, great questions. And thank you for listening, Kyle, and for writing.
It's especially nice that we have the youth of America listening to us. Ooh, maybe we shouldn't make such bad jokes. We're going to clean it up for you, Kyle, from now on.
Here's to a brighter future.
I will still be here corrupting young minds.
Bob's not going anywhere.
Yeah. So awesome. Cool. Well, thank you.
All right.
For suggesting a show topic, or I bet he didn't know that when he wrote in, this was going to be a little bit of a topic, but good questions.
Yeah. And it's great when you guys write in and ask the questions because it gets us thinking. I like it. I'm going to grab the show right here and wrap it up. Thank you to pixievacations.com for sponsoring the podcast. You can download our shows at mousechat.net or from iTunes. You can send us your comments and questions and or to comments@mousechat.net. Please join us again here next time on Mouse Chat.